Yo! Welcome into the House of L podcast. I'm Lawrence Holmes. Thank you so much for hanging out. I don't know how many more White Sox podcasts I'm going to do, but I felt it was necessary to do a White Sox pod considering how the first week and a half of the season has gone. And I don't know if there's anyone outside of the broadcast team that was expecting this team to do anything, but it has been a rough watch for the first nine games of the season. Granted, as I said last week, I didn't think the White Sox in the series against Detroit played badly, but that was a week ago. They have since learned how to play badly. I don't know if they've learned how to do it, but you get my drift. And then this weekend in Kansas City was just a nightmare. That Royals team isn't any good, but they were good enough. They were good enough to erase some deficits and come back in and beat the White Sox and sweep them out of Kauffman Stadium. Watching them play is rough. I will say that I've enjoyed Garrett Crochet, and he had another performance on Sunday that was, I think, worth being excited about. Even though it was only five innings, he's still striking people out. He didn't have the best defense behind him. Neither did the rest of the guys from the bullpen, but with Leon, it was kind of his own fault. I don't know how people are going to approach watching White Sox games and how quickly they're going to stop watching White Sox games. Like, maybe you'll check in on the condensed games. If you didn't know, you can, that's one way you could watch games if you want it. MLB.com has this great thing called condensed games. And basically, it's everything that's important. It's not always every pitch, but it's everything that's important in a game. Not highlights, though. Like, it's, you know, they'll walk you through every inning, like what happened of every inning with video. It's usually somewhere between 7 and 9 minutes long. I would highly recommend that for a White Sox fan that doesn't want to invest their time on a night-to-night basis, I would highly recommend that you start maybe consuming games that way. Because watching this thing play out on a daily or nightly basis is just going to make you unhappy. The defense fell off the table in Kansas City. For the most part, the White Sox have been okay defensively through, what, seven games? And then in the final two games of that series, not so much. I think they came into Sunday's game with two errors and left with five. And now you talk about bad decisions, kicking the ball all over the place. Even stuff that wasn't deemed an error, like the ball, you're Jose Canseco-ing the ball over the wall. Not good, man. Not fun for anyone. And it's just hard. Like, it's one thing where last season you weren't expecting them to be one of the worst teams in the league, and it hurt real bad that they were. This year, you're expecting them to be really bad, and you're like, man, this is worse than I thought it was going to be. There were people, Joe Sheehan was one of them, that were saying they're a 53-win team. And I, you know, my whole feeling is every team in Major League Baseball, because of variance, because of luck, because you have a pitcher that's on a heater or whatever, every team wins 60 games. Like, every team is. Let me look it up. I got to see how many. Maybe I shouldn't say that. Let me see how many games the Oakland A's won last year. I'm sorry. Did I call them Oakland? I'm not supposed to call them Oakland anymore. They're in Sacramento now, and they don't want us to call them the Sacramento A's either, or the Las Vegas A's. Does anyone believe they're going to end up in Las Vegas? Because I do not believe they're going to end up in Las Vegas. All right, let's look this up. Let's see how bad were the Oakland A's last year, and could the White Sox be worse? Like, because to me, coming into the season, I know the Marlins have started out with the goose egg, but to me, the three worst teams are the White Sox, the A's, and the Rockies. Oh, yeah, Oakland lost 112 games last year. So, yeah, maybe the White Sox will be we're going to talk about how they can make all of those dreams of being a 50-win team come true. Because all that stuff that you were worried about, and then sometimes you were told not to worry about it anymore, all that stuff, like, came to fruition. And we'll talk about it next. Okay, let me get the caveats out of the way. Eloy Jimenez is not trying to hurt himself. Except for that one time where he did the thing at the wall with his arm. He's not trying to hurt himself. This is the way that I rationalize it. Feel free to take my rationalization as your own. There are guys whose bodies are just not built to do the thing that they're great at for a long period of time. Derrick Rose is one of those bodies. His body just kind of gave out on him, and it wasn't anyone's fault. I feel that way about Eloy. Eloy clearly loves baseball, and that's now again being put to the test. And he had mentioned to the beat reporters who were there in Kansas City that after getting hurt again, that he's like, man, I just kind of want to go home. I can't even imagine the level of frustration that he must feel with this being a part of who he is as a player. This is, no matter what you think of the guy, because the guy seems to be incredibly lovable and hardworking. This is who he is. And I will say that it bothers me when people just say, oh, well, he's lazy and he's out of shape. Look, Eloy got into shape last year. Remember? Like, the whole concept of the best shape of my life thing actually played out for Eloy last year. He came into camp 30 pounds lighter. 30 pounds lighter. And when I was seeing, like, James Fegan and Scott Merkin and Darryl Van Scowen talking about this, I'm like, there's no way in hell that he's 30 pounds lighter. And then you saw him, and he looked good. Like, you could see that he was lean, and he took it very, very seriously, like what he was trying to do. And even with all of that, with all of that work that he put into playing, he still only played 120 games last year. And the White Sox DH him a lot. So him only playing 120 games, while it was a victory, because it's almost as many games that he's ever played in a season, the most that he's played is 122, it's still not enough. And then you get the blow of Luis Robert Jr. maybe being gone for a couple of months. That's where your offense was going to come from. That's where your production was going to come from. And seeing that look on Luis's face as he is grimacing running off the field and you go, oh, that doesn't look good. And then Bob Nightingale had the report that it might be a couple months before we see Luis Robert Jr. And I swear, on the moons and the stars above, watching the White Sox last week, they were playing like, even though they were losing, they were playing like a team that was like, everyone thinks we're shit, but we don't yet. And now they're playing like a team where it's like, man, we're not good. And our best two hitters are gone, and definitely their best player in Robert are gone. So what do you do then? Who do you look to? Are you looking to Andrew Benintendi? He can't seem to get quite right so far this year. Who are you looking to? Is it Gavin Sheets? Benintendi's already been dropped in the lineup. He's hitting 139. He's been dropped in the lineup. No more batting leadoff. You going to look to Robbie Grossman or Yoan Moncada? All of us are just waiting. That's kind of where it is. Like, if you've watched this team over the last few years, oh, well, Eloy's down, Robert's down. How soon before Yoan Moncada has a groin injury or a hamstring pull or a bad back? How soon before that happens? A miserable week for the White Sox. Injuries to Robert, injuries to Eloy. You play badly, which you hadn't really been doing. And then there's the Mike Clevinger stuff. A signing for no reason other than. And yes, I'm aware of all of the rumored connections as to why he also may have been signed. But I don't want House of L to get sued. So until I can corroborate that myself, I'm not going to dignify it. But know that I've seen it. What a terrible week. And every single time I hear Pedro Grifol talk, I am left feeling like I am watching a guy who is overmatched. Now, I talked with someone with some real knowledge inside the White Sox and how they work. And Tony La Russa has had a huge influence on Pedro Grifol, bigger than you know. And I think because Grifol is a bit of a climber and he understands the politics of the job that he has, he's very adept at it too. He knows that if he will keep his job longer than he should, which there's an argument that he should have been fired last year, even in his first year, he'll keep his job longer than he should because he knows how to play to Jerry Reinsdorf's ego. Oh, I'm taking all of this advice from Tony. Oh, I'm getting better. This is the way that Tony would manage it. I just want to try and be like him. It's a good way to stay hired. I can't be mad at I can't knock the hustle. But I can tell you that he's not a guy that I would want managing the team that I cheer for. He doesn't seem to command anything. All the things that he said that he wanted to do are not being done, and he doesn't seem to have a grasp for maybe bench coaches as high as he goes, and there's no shame in that. Sometimes you're not ready for the big chair. Maybe the second time that he gets a job as a manager, if he ever gets another job as a manager, maybe he'll be ready to sit in the chair. I just know that every time he opens his mouth, I feel like he's either not quite with it or he thinks White Sox fans are the dumbest people on the planet. here's hoping that this week the eclipse changes something and things get better and all of that. But this is what hell looks like from a baseball standpoint. You're a weekend and you know it's completely over. Even if you walked out of the Detroit series with some hope, which I didn't, but okay. Like, you saw Garrett Crochet pitch really well. Kopech did a nice job out of the bullpen. But even if you walked out of that with some hope, it's all gone now. And I don't see how it could ever come back. Not under this regime. Thanks for listening. Your time is valuable to me, and I appreciate it. Spread the word. Support the podcast for free by giving it 5 stars and writing a review. We'd love that. I will talk to you next time. Peace.